that I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal, it's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
It's medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
Welcome to The Netball Show with Mizuno. This week, three netball legends. Well, two and three quarters, but I'll leave that choice to you. Jess Thirlby joins us to tell us about Team Bath's match against Thunder and the run-in.
Because in all honesty, what's the point in focusing on the other games? I mean, those things could change at any point, so we've just got to know what we're doing on court and stay very focused in the moment.
Next Generation Netball is launched by two of my ex-Storm player faves.
If we could try and light the fire in one or two girls round here with the same sort of inspirational people, then, you know, we'd be so pleased.
And Shiona Forbes joins us to tell us about the England under-19 selection.
This summer tour to New Zealand and Australia will be a real great test for our talented athletes. It's really exciting to see them to be playing against the best opposition teams in this age group.
Hi, I'm Gaz Marshall and this is The Netball Show with Mizuno.
First this week, the BBC launched their Summer of Women's Sport. Natalie was there for the Netball Show, and she spoke to Sarah Behrman, who'll be part of the commentary team.
I think it's basically just putting women's sport on the biggest platform possible, making the most amount of people see it, and you know, the BBC just backing it and getting it out there, really, and that's all women's sport. So there's huge events coming up, Netball World Cup obviously being the most important, but Women's World Cup football, Ashes, anniversary games, just so much that I think it's great we're able to just celebrate it as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. And how important is it that we get big broadcasters and big media platforms behind this cause?
Massive. Like, it's huge for women's sport, and I think it's huge for netball that we're being included in this. You know, the fact that it's one of the headline sports 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been happening. So it is massive, and I think the fact that everyone wanted to see England in the World Cup after the Commonwealth Games success, the fact that it's going to be on, you know, free-to-air TV is a huge boost.
Yeah, massively. And what do you think this will mean for the fans, like, at home? Because obviously not everyone can be in Liverpool this summer. What will it mean to them, do you think?
Yeah, I think the tickets have sold really, really well. You know, people are crying about not getting finals tickets. So I think it is going to be huge for people, you know, if they've not got Sky subscriptions and they've not been able to see Super League netball, that they'll be able to see the best international netball and all the games, you know. Yeah. They won't have to miss a second of it. It's on our timeline in this country, and it's been hosted in Liverpool, and you know, the BBC covering it, it's like a proper British event, and it feels like very much like a home event, which is exciting for me, and I can only imagine how exciting it is for the team.
Yeah, definitely. So that's quite rare that it is on our timeline, and you know, it's being hosted by so many platforms. Like, that is a massive, massive deal. Why do you think we've got to this point? Do you think it's legacy from last year?
Yeah, I think it is legacy from last year a little bit. You know, 2 million people watching England win a gold medal is huge. And then I think I myself just see the groundswell in terms of like children playing, adults playing, people getting back to netball. Like, the impact that gold medal had has just been so far-reaching that I think, you know, there's a massive demand for the World Cup to be seen and to be heard, and for people to be part of it. And so I think that is all a result of that gold medal, really.
And so in terms of the World Cup this summer, what kind of, are you going to be involved? So you're going to be commentating again? Are you allowed to tell us? Do you know yet?
I'm going to be involved for BBC, so okay. That's really exciting. So I will be in and around the World Cup, which I'm excited about.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think there's going to be some other names there that I'm not sure if I can tell you, so I won't. But I think it's like I said, it feels like very much like an English event. You know, like in the past, when it's on Australian time, it's a pain for us, and you know, you get Australian commentary and Australian pundits, and this is going to be about the home nations, and I think that's exciting for English and home nations netball fans that, you know, it's our event and it's a home World Cup.
Worry not, Caroline Barker fans, and I know that a lot of us are. She'll also be a part of the team as well. And like Sarah said, many more names to be revealed. And if we hear anything, we'll let you know. Elsewhere, I don't know about you, but we're getting really excited for that final top four places in the league this weekend. Really important for everybody involved, isn't it? Well, Team Bath's Jess Thirlby has been telling us she's just taking one game at a time. Jess, should we say it was a bit of an entertaining game at the weekend v Thunder?
Yeah, I'm just about recovered now, I think. Definitely a good one, I think, for the crowd, which is always great up in Thunder. You know, they're full of enthusiasm, and it's a difficult place to go and play. And they create a fantastic atmosphere, and it was a true kind of Bath Thunder fixture, if I'm honest. It kind of lived up to the expectations we've come to have of that fixture now. We've obviously played each other a number of times, and in recent seasons, not excluding this season, we're still putting out really tight games. So yes, it seems to be a really good matchup between the two sides.
It read close on Twitter. Was it one of those performances that you can be really proud of?
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely proud of what we managed to put out against Thunder, who themselves are kind of right up there with title ambitions for this season. It's a difficult one because we're pretty relentless, aren't we, at Team Bath, as I'm sure most teams are. And it was kind of the performance that we know that we're capable of and that we expect of ourselves every time we step out on court, whether that's in training or in a match. And obviously it doesn't always quite come off. And every coach, every team's been in search of this consistency across the season, and no more so than now, heading into the final stages. So we were really proud of it, but it's important not to get too carried away, because otherwise it's kind of we're lowering our standards of ourselves, really. So yeah, it was a good feeling amongst the group. It was one of real confidence and belief across the 60 minutes, and I think it was just a very well-timed performance and a far more consistent one from us, and no better time to kind of put a game like that together, really. So yeah, I mean, without that we wouldn't have got over the line. I mean, for anyone who plays Thunder knows they've got to be in top form, and you cannot spill ball against a team like that who are renowned for keeping possession of the ball really well. It's very difficult to get turnover off of a Manchester Thunder side, so we didn't really have a choice. We had to be clinical, and it was just really pleasing to see the team be able to do that, understand what their role was, and be able to execute on the day under the conditions that we all know are pretty tight now.
As a coach, are you still keeping an eye on results elsewhere, or now you're in the top four, is it a case of, you know what, it's just our own performances?
Yeah, I mean, it's really important, I think, not to get too distracted by it, but it's also unavoidable. You know, it's right out there. We all know the ramifications of winning or losing, and we've known that for the last, couple of rounds, and it is important to be aware of it, but you can't be paralysed by it. Ultimately, we have to just get our head down, focus on what our strengths are, how that's going to match up against the next opposition team, where we can expose those teams on match day. But yeah, you have to be aware of it, because it's the realities of sport and it's the context of which we're trying to compete within. But we're definitely not a team that are kind of hanging on the phone and looking at every single minute of the opposition matches, because ultimately, you know, we're in a better position than we have been the last couple of years, because we've got points on the board and we're currently sat joint second. And so it very much is destiny in our own hands, whereas I think back to this time last year and we were very reliant on other results going our way in order to even have a chance of making the top four. So I think it's really important to just stay focused on ourselves. But yeah, you know, you have to have the confidence to be aware of what's going on around you, but definitely not to be distracted by it. So yeah, we're trying to keep the team just focused on the task at hand and be present in the moment, whether that's in training or leading into the match day, really. So yeah, it's all, we have to focus on us.
Mavs were in the top four, then out just as quick at the weekend, and that's just the way the league's been this season. Mickey said something that it was clear maybe two leagues, mini leagues.
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I think when you look at the league table and you look at the numbers, then obviously it presents in that way, and it looks like the league is almost split into two. But then when you look at the subjective and you look at the results game on game, that's not true, is it? I mean, you only have to look. We've got so many games to draw upon where teams at the bottom have beaten teams at the top. Pulse beating Mavericks a few weeks ago. So I just don't think it looks like that. And sometimes I think teams fall foul to having runs where it doesn't quite go their way, and it has a significant impact now in a league as competitive as ours is. But I think, as everybody's already said, it's a fantastic thing for the league. It's great. It's promoting Super League as a more competitive entity. It will hopefully attract and retain the best possible players available. So yeah, I think it's tough. It has ended up that way, but I think that's just because some teams either started the season much better and didn't drop as many points, or have recovered and found some form towards the end of the season. But I don't think the numbers really reflect the calibre of each team in the league, and now more than ever we know that when we head towards a Pulse side that have built some fantastic momentum, and they were always going to do that. You know, in their first year, game on game, they were always going to most probably show the most growth. And so yeah, we know we've got a big task at hand on Saturday.
Everybody on Saturday is starting at 6. You're against Pulse, Lightning and Mavs as well. One thing I need to know, have you changed or have you prepared different colour cards so that you can hold them up to everybody on court so they know who's winning?
No.
You could hold up like a purple card or a orange.
No, it's a good idea, but we won't be doing that, because in all honesty, what's the point in focusing on the other games? I mean, those things could change at any point. So we've just got to know what we're doing on court, and stay very focused in the moment. So a very dull answer for you, Andy, but no, my coloured cards will be staying the same for this weekend. Consistency's key, remember.
I hope this one's a bit better. You've been demanding top form from the players, obviously, all season and going into the weekend. You're doing a half marathon as well going into it, so... I haven't seen Anna yet. What's her excuse?
Oh, no. Just to be clear, I'm not running a half marathon in one go.
Because walking it.
I don't think I'd make it in time for the game on Saturday if I attempted doing that. No, it's just... To be honest, it's just a good distraction for myself. I'm pretty intense and quite obsessed with trying to make sure I'm doing everything I can on behalf of the team and getting them in the best place possible. And I think there's a lot to be said to make sure that you also get yourself in a really good place, and paying attention to that as a coach is really important. So it's a good thing for me to distract myself, pull myself away from my multiple notes in my pad, my prep for training, video analysis. So whilst I was having a little plod last night, I thought, you know what, I'm partly inspired by the people running the marathon, but definitely can't achieve that. And what can I do to make sure that I'm in a good physical and mental state? It's as much about that as anything. And yeah, the sun was shining, so why not? But as for Anna, I can't speak on behalf of Anna. I mean, we're both absolutely manic, so it's the distance doesn't sound very much, but it's finding the time. So yeah, Anna obviously has other work that she's trying to complete throughout the week, as well as being head coach of this team prepping for their final match. And we've both got families, and our poor husbands most probably haven't seen us for months now. So yeah, Anna and I will be putting our best foot forward. You have no doubt about that. But yeah, this, unfortunately, I'm going to have to do a few plods on my own this week.
Oh.
But yeah, it'll be a good distraction. It'll be a good distraction.
Finally, I've got to congratulate you on your Netball Show podcast. Great name, as our stats and reviews this week have been through the roof.
Look, I'm not in control of any of that bit. I just get to sit there and chat about the game that I love with people that I think are amazing. So I can't take either any credit or criticism for either the name or anything like that, really. I leave all the important stuff to the people that know what they're doing. But yeah, it's not quite podcast status yet, but we're kind of moving towards that. But look, as like the fantastic job you do, Andy, I think we're all just passionate about trying to make as much noise as we can about the game and showcasing and giving insight for the masses out there into, you know, the people that have made it really special for all of us. So I just feel very fortunate that I can have a good chinwag every week, really, about netball, and hope that at least a couple of people might listen. That's the target.
Who have you had on so far? It was Rachel and Layla, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rachel and Layla were on last week, and I mean, brilliant guests for the opening show. And then we've got a bit of a longer one with Serena this week, because I know it's going to go in multi directions, and we might need a bit longer to cover the topics. But I just think it's important that I think we bring these people to life and make them a bit more household names. And you only get that from having a decent chat with people and realizing that there's a person behind the medals. So yeah, it'll be great to speak to Serena, and hopefully, you know, the fans and the public will really enjoy hearing some other sides to her, as well as her views and opinions on both Super League and also the Suncorp, which obviously kicked off last week.
Just so we're clear for next week, who have you got on next week so we don't book the same guest?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Oh, come on. Yeah, how long have we known each other?
Hey, listen, when I know, you'll know.
Well, one of our favourite netball podcasts is the Centre Pass podcast over in Australia, and it keeps us up to date with everything that's going on in the Suncorp League. As we know, a lot of our English players will be taking part in the league this year. And with the first of our weekly roundup of the latest scores, here's Stephanie.
Hi, this is Stephanie from the Centre Pass podcast with your round one results from Suncorp Super Netball. First up, the Melbourne Vixens defeated the Queensland Firebirds 73-61. The Collingwood Magpies beat the Sunshine Coast Lightning 57-43. The New South Wales Swifts defeated their rivals the Giants 63-56. And lastly, the Adelaide Thunderbirds won their match against the West Coast Fever 61-60. I'll be back next week with the round two results.
I think for England netball, change of direction is imperative in our athletes, and that is something that we measure them on against international competition. I think what is really different about the Mizuno shoe is the grip and flex. In netball, it's really important when the girls plant a foot and move, that is just one consistent movement, and over 60 minutes, that gains so much advantage over the opposition.
So as a sports injury specialist, one of my biggest bugbears is seeing netball players playing netball in running shoes. The reason this is annoying for me is because running shoes are designed for running in a linear motion. They're not designed for stop-start, change of direction, and looking after the stability of a player as they're coming down from the air. So the benefit of a netball shoe over a running shoe is they're designed to give you more stability and allow you to change direction with better grip, and also allow you to give it a more stable knee and ankle position when coming down from a height, therefore reducing the risk of injury in those two areas.
If you look at our attacking players, who they tend to favour a real light, speedy shoe where the grip and flex really gets them changing direction quite quickly to lose their opponents. Where our defenders, where power, strength, stability and support tend to go for the heavier shoe, where that is really crucial. They're so passionate about improving performance, and they've really shown that in working with each of our individual athletes in respect to how they can make small gains and improve their performance.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game. I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements. After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth. That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
It's a netball show with Mizuno. Next generation netball has been launched by Becky and Gemma, who are well known to supporters of Surrey Storm. They've been speaking to us as they launch their next generation netball masterclass. And it's with Tamsin. Becky, you're launching next generation netball alongside Gemma as well. Otherwise known as Trippick and Wiseman, those solicitors of netball in Surrey. What have you been up to in the meantime?
We're working with the Futures Academy in Basildon. So both been doing that now for 2 years, thoroughly enjoying that, just working with such a fantastic group of girls. And really just excited to be giving back that sort of opportunity that we were both given at a young age, getting access to like elite training. They have match days, you know, they have S&C programs. Some of these girls are 13 right up until 17. And it's such a fantastic thing to be involved in and see the development. And we've already had, you know, some be successful, go to up into the Mavericks under-17s and under-19s. So, just thoroughly enjoying that. And then we're starting to look at coaching for our own little girls. There didn't seem to be much out there for the younger age group. And then there didn't seem to be much access to the elite netballers in the Essex area, really. So that's where we've kind of come up with our new little...
What's the talent like there locally?
I mean, the talent in Essex is just absolutely overflowing. It's brimming with girls that are just so keen and eager to learn. It's a very different style to what you get up north, but you think of some of the Essex players that you've had come out and even currently that are playing. The schools are just so supportive. There's so many tournaments and competitions, and there's so many emerging clubs alongside the clubs that have been challenging for many years. So for them finally to be getting the opportunity in these academies and these futures and the lower age groups is just brilliant to see, because I think there was a few years where there was some confusion once county stopped that we'd all been through and once other things like that. So to now have a clearer way and to support the work that the satellites and the county that are doing, it kind of gives them clear steps in how they can get to the furthest they want to get.
So there's a whole little, well, maybe not little, but batch of Lindsay Keebles on the way?
Oh, 100%. Lindsay Keebles, you've got some Georgia Lees coming through. You've got a fair few coming out of Essex. You watch this space.
What's it like for you on a personal level, just obviously getting involved with something like this and passing on your expertise? You must get loads out of it.
Oh, it is. It's a whole different level. You know, when you play, it's very much for the team and for yourself, you know, how you're feeling. When it comes to coaching, you just see the tiny little improvements, whether it be in their gameplay, in their confidence, in their tactical understanding. You know, the tiny things are what just give you such a buzz and such a reward. And Gemma and I are both saying, you know, people have joked, oh, you're not going to come back and play. Of course, we're not coming back to play, but we're just enjoying. Maybe for like the testimonials, but we're just enjoying the coaching side, seeing how much they're improving, and just it just gives you such a buzz. And I think having our own girls as well, it just reignites that you just want to pass it on.
I got in touch with a Maverick spokesman and she said the girls have been amazing for us and they know the area well. Strong coaches who have a great knowledge and welling up.
That is nice. Whilst having fun, that's the key as well.
So the idea of next generation netball then, how did that idea come about? Fairly easy to think of?
Yeah, we'd been discussing it for a while, to be honest, between the two of us. You know, we're very close friends as well. Our families are friends, so we do a lot socially. But we kept thinking there was just something that was missing. You know, we were going out there and doing some coaching and some bits here and there. But we felt we just wanted something that we could put our passion into. And just really cater for all. So it's going to start with camps and classes for like 5-year-olds, and that's going to go up to 9-year-olds, and there's going to be like some summer camp, and then there is going to be master classes. So you're trying to just cover all areas that they're really getting that opportunity. And you know, I'm currently taking my 4-year-old to clubs, and there's rugby out there, there's a million dance, drama, gym, and they're brilliant, but there isn't any netball. And considering how popular it is in Essex, and considering my little girl is very tall and the size of a giraffe already, I really want to get them into the key fundamentals, you know, the throwing, the catching, the hand-eye coordination, the things that lend themselves to every sport. And that's where it came about, really. And then before we know it, we're doing it.
And the first opportunity is coming up soon as well, starting, yeah, as you mean to go on, by announcing Tamsin as the first guest.
I know, how exciting. We've been talking to our girls at the Mavericks and our girls we coach at clubs and just saying, you know, this is one of the best in the netball business. We're not just saying in England. You look at her repertoire, you look at everything she's achieved as a player and a coach. And, you know, Gemma and I have been fortunate enough to be coached by her for a long time. And this isn't something they get every day. It's her coming out to Essex, being able to really go through a program with them that can help with their attacking in the first instance, and then see from there. And there's some exciting special guests coming up as well.
I have no doubt that must be nice for you as well, because obviously we'll look at you and Storm in a future podcast, but it's just the fact that you can call on somebody like that who's got the experience, yeah, and just is really keen to help.
Yeah, and it's doing it because she's a fantastic coach. I mean, there are lots of players out there that are great, but that doesn't necessarily mean you are a good coach. You've got to be able to merge the two together. Yeah, and we're just so excited. What started our conversation was I vividly remember doing a netball camp when I was about 9, and it was Wendy Hale and it was Pat Sweeney, who's now Sutherland. And that has stuck with me the whole way through. And I'm thinking, if we could try and light the fire in one or two girls around here with the same sort of inspirational people, then, you know, we'd be so pleased.
Details have been announced of that then. It's going to be taking place in Essex, isn't it? And is there a cost with that?
Yeah, it's in Deans, which is a school in Benfleet. We're going to be moving each one round so it's accessible for everyone. We're not just going to stick in one place. And this one is for 13 to 17. You know, we're learning. We're trying to see where people want it, what they're after, what sort of expertise. And, you know, we only released it 24 hours ago and it's getting a real positive response so far. And our aim is just try and keep it sport for all, you know, trying to get the women in sport and just enjoying it as much as possible.
More information on your Twitter and Facebook, is there?
NGN Netball. That's our Instagram. That's our Twitter. We've got Facebook as well. And the website is... it's on the way. It's currently being developed. So if people log on to our Instagram and our Twitter, it's got our email address and that's the way to put.
It's going to be taking place on the 19th of May, which is a Sunday, between 10 and 12?
Yep, Sunday the 19th, 10 till 12, two solid hours on attacking. And I know there's been a few questions, oh, it's attacking. Should so-and-so come? Every player needs to learn how to attack in netball. You know, you watch the ANZ, you watch Shanley later, she's certainly an attacking player as well. So... that is what we're promoting in this initial one. And then there'll be one in 3 weeks' time. We're going to carry on in that process.
And as you said, just keep an eye on NGN Netball.
Everything will be launched on there first. So if they're following that, they're going to be the first ones to get the information. So, well, we're already 50% full. So that is in 24 hours. So we're trying to get the first one full and then we'll see where we go from there. But the uptake so far has just been so promising. So we're really happy with that.
The England under-19 squad has been confirmed for a trip to Australia and New Zealand at the end of June. Their head coach is Shiona Forbes.
This summer tour to New Zealand and Australia will be a real great test for our talented athletes. It's really exciting to see them to be playing against the best opposition teams in this age group, especially when we're looking onto the World Youth Cup in Fiji in 2021. It is also a really great opportunity for them to see and experience the different environments in the other countries and what is demanded of them physically and mentally. I can't wait to see what this group brings.
Why don't we have a look at some of the players? Annabelle's captain, Zara and Ellie is vice-captain between them. And in some ways, is that hard to spot that leadership quality in a player?
I think that leadership and what it looks like is always an interesting topic. I mean, what characteristics do you want in a leader? And what do you see in an individual in order to get the right balance for your group and out of that leader? Annabelle is a key leader within and has been within this Roses group all season. She shows many characteristics that you'd want from a leader and others look up to her as well as her experience that she's had this year within the NSL environment. Zara and Ellie both also show great signs of leadership and characteristics. And I think as a unit, as a three, they'll be really, really brilliant together.
And the fact that you've got a nice mix of names from different squads too shows how healthy the league is at the minute.
The franchise system and the pathway at the minute is getting stronger and stronger. It is a real testament to each franchise and the development that they're doing in the community, as well as the clubs and the counties that sit alongside it. The work that they're doing is testament to how it looks, I think, at the minute. There have been many exciting games in all levels of the pathway. Obviously, we see mainly the 19s, 21s, and obviously the NSL games are being much closer. But I know a bit further down the pathway with the 15s and 17s, it's also really competitive. The environment and the opportunity that these girls are getting to play in front of a crowd and bigger venues is also having a big impact on them as youngsters. Mm. So they're getting more and more valuable experience when they're coming through Roses and above.
And how can we follow the progress of the side throughout?
To follow our progress when we're out on tour, main place to look will be Twitter, using @under19England.
Well, let's get the thoughts of Captain Annabelle Roddy.
I'm very proud and excited to have been selected and named captain for tour this summer. It's going to be a great opportunity to showcase our team's ability on the international stage. We are ready to test ourselves against this age group's top sides. I think we know the competition will be tough, but we also know that we are ready, and I can't wait to get started with the team.
Thanks for your support. Plenty going on online. We're at thenetballshow.co.uk, and you can also send us a tweet too. We're at the Netball Show.
It's something I've dreamed of for a long time, and to score the winning goal. It's- It's just incredible, and it's just every shooter's dream, and, you know, I'm having the best day of my life right now.
These medals just for today, and so we actually want to win the World Cup.
Hi, I'm Juva Mentor, and you're listening to The Netball Show.
Scotland has been doing a really good job on the international stage.
We are thrilled that we've finally been able to announce Dan Ryan as our new senior head coach.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at The Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.